welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And today we are going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And really, this whole week we've been looking at this section here at the beginning of chapter 2, where we just see the humility of Jesus on display. And it's such a great example for us to look at, to want to emulate, to pursue for ourselves. And what we're going to see here in these three verses is as Paul has reflected upon the humility of Jesus, as he has encouraged the Philippian believers to embody and emulate that same kind of humility, we see what ends up happening here is he ends up coming to a point of just worship. Right? Like as he reflects and looks at the example of Jesus, he is led to worship him. And what a great sense of joy, right? That that because of who our God is, what he has done, that leads us to a point of worship, not out of fear, not out of just the sense that we're scared of our God or that he is going to abuse his power over us. But he leverages his power and his authority to serve us. And that leads us to worship. And so let me just go ahead and read verses 9 through 11. God's word says, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so what a great end to this section here on humility. And it makes me think of, you know, oftentimes in sports, whether we came out of the Olympics this summer, and you think about the person who gets in first place and they have them stand on the podium, right? And where do they put them? They put them at the top, right? It's usually tiered, right? And you know, in the center, at the very top, the highest one up, right, is the person who is in first, right? They are the most important. They are victorious. They have won. You think about at the end of a championship, if you watch, you know, college football at the end of the season, right? That the team that wins, they're going to bring a stage out, and that team is going to get on that stage, right, over the field, to show that they are victorious and that they have won. And think of in a courtroom, right? Who sits at the highest point in a courtroom? It's the judge, the one with authority and power. And so what we see here in our world, right, in all of creation, that God is going to elevate Jesus to this point that no one else gets, that he's going to raise him up the highest. And the question we should ask when we look at this is why? What is it about Jesus that God elevates him to this status that he says that he is going to be above every name? And that even that word above, it's this idea of like, of high above, that highly exalted. It's not just that God elevates, the Father elevates the Son, but he highly, supremely elevates him above all else. And we see the reason for this is because right at the beginning of 9, right? Therefore, a great Bible study question, what's the therefore? And it's in light of the humiliation of Jesus, that he condescended from heaven, got off his throne and obeyed the Father's will and humbled himself to the point of death. And not just any death, but death on a cross. And it's because of Jesus's humility that God exalts him. I said it this way this past Sunday, that perhaps the greatest, I said it this way on Sunday, is that Paul shows us that because no one has humbled themselves as low as Jesus, no one will be exalted as high as Jesus, right? Because nobody's humbled themselves lower than Jesus has humbled himself. Therefore, God exalts him higher than anyone else. One of the commentaries, and look at this, that's what I was reading just a second ago in my notes, but it says that the Christian life is full of opposites that seem to contradict themselves, that you read in the Bible that we must die to self if we want to live for Christ. So death for life, right? We must declare spiritual bankruptcy if we would be rich. Rich in God. We must mourn if we would be happy. We must hunger if we would be satisfied, right? We must lose our life if we save it, but if we save our life, we will lose it. And so you just see these contradictions, but the greatest apparent contradiction that we have before us in chapter 2 is that we must humble ourselves if we are to be exalted. And this is the life and legacy that Jesus gives us. And we see at the end of this is not just that Jesus exalted, but what we see is that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And that should humble all of us, right? Because on this side of heaven, not everyone does that, right? On this side of eternity, where we're at now, not every single person who's ever lived confesses Jesus as Lord and bows their knee in worship to him. But there will come a day when everyone will bow their knee. See, every knee will bow to King Jesus, and we can either humble ourselves before him or we can be humbled by him. And that's what we see here. And I think that's this challenge as Paul leads us in this worship, is that we see that we can either come to this point of recognizing who Jesus is, and the right response is to humble ourselves before our mighty King, right? Or if we resist him, rebel against him, and reject him, then one day we will be humbled by him and we will confess that he is Lord and Master to God's glory. And so just to way for us to reflect and finish here is, I just wanna ask you, is Jesus Lord of your life, right? Like, didn't ask like, do you go to church? Are you in life group? Are you serving? But the most important thing is that we recognize Jesus as Lord of our life, that we have surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, that he's not just our Savior that died on the cross, but he is our Master and Lord. And so I'm hopeful in prayer that that is true, that he is Lord of your life. But if he is not, this is an incredible opportunity that we've seen this week about why we should put him as Lord, because nobody will love you more than Jesus. Nobody will seek your good more than Jesus. Nobody will seek to serve you more than Jesus. Nobody seeks your best more than Jesus. And nobody has humbled themselves more than Jesus for your sake and your good. And it's in light of those things that we can put our faith and trust in him, that we would follow after him. Now, for those of you that maybe Jesus Lord of your life, but perhaps you're struggling with having him to be Lord in every area of your life. And so just to ask you, like, are there any areas of your life where you are being mastered by anything other than Jesus? That something other than Jesus is master in an area. Perhaps it's your finances. Perhaps it's how you think about money and your giving or your generosity or your stewardship. And you're thinking, man, like, I want to be able to do with my money what I want to do with it. It's mine. I've worked for it. I've earned it, right? But recognizing the sense that all that we have is from God, that he has given you that those resources to steward for his kingdom. And so how can we let Jesus be Lord over our finances? What about in your parenting or perhaps your relationships? What about your time as you think about how you want to use your time and leverage your time? What about your possessions? Are there certain possessions that you say, man, but I really just want to have this like fun toy to have, like, you know, I just want to be able to get this technology or get this game or get this car, like this certain, like, are we putting Jesus as saying, Lord Jesus, how would you have me think about my possessions? Perhaps it's electronics, right? Like, is there any area of your life where you find that something else is mastering you other than Jesus? And just, I'm going to pray for us that we would humbly come before God and worship him and allow his Lordship to direct our lives. And for you to take some time at the end, just to pray if there's any area in your life that you would want to confess, right, to the Lord, that you want him to come in and take over the reins and to lead in that area of your life. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, just thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his humility, how he serves us, how he loves us, how he humbly came to lay down his life for us. And so, Lord, I pray that in response to that we would humble ourselves before a mighty God. And as we humble ourselves before our King, our Jesus, right, that one day Jesus will elevate us, right? That Jesus will exalt us, not above every name, not above everyone, not above him, but he will exalt us. And in that moment, we will receive the due reward of our serving of you, Lord. And so I just want to pray for my friends here, Lord, that if there's any area in their life, God, that you are not reigning as Master and Lord, that Holy Spirit, you would bring that to mind right now, that you would help them confess that to you, to surrender that to you, to let you, Jesus, to take over the Lordship and the throne in their life in that area as you rightfully should. And that as they do that, they will experience more freedom and more joy because, God, you are the source of unshakable joy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time to pray for yourself.